Peace be to all of you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My text this morning is a gospel lesson, but I'm going to work more from verses chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. This is my text. Grace, mercy, and peace be to all of you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, but most of us are amused by name droppers. Those folks who seek to impress others by mentioning some well-known figure with whom they have some connection, real or imagined. In another generation, some newspaper columnists made a living out of name dropping. But for the average person, it's a simple way just to build up our ego. No doubt all of us have name dropped once or occasion. But we hate to see somebody make it a way of life. Nevertheless, our friendships, our associations matter. It was almost 500 years ago that someone first put into writing, a person is known by the company he keeps. And I suspect it has been said for many centuries before that. This morning, Jesus discusses that matter one day with the disciples. And there probably were other people around listening. But Jesus was specifically speaking, especially to his followers and his disciples. He warned them that following him might bring persecution, might bring shame, might bring even death. But he urged them, despite all of those qualities, to speak boldly about their ties to him, even if it meant severing their relationships with family or friends. But then our Lord Jesus gave us the bright side of following him, which we read in verse 40. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, Jesus said. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. It was the late Professor William Barclay who tells us that Jesus was referring to a principle that was very well known to the disciples back then. It was felt that among the Jews of Jesus' day, that the one way who received a messenger or a representative of a person was the same as receiving the person himself. For example, to pay respect to an ambassador was the same as paying respect to the king who had sent him. And thus, Jesus was saying that people who extended hospitality or kindness to one of the disciples was extending this favor to Jesus himself. And by further application, back to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And remember, it was God who sent Jesus. But Jesus' promise must have been acted out of hundreds of times in the decades that followed our Lord's death and resurrection. It's easy to imagine in for ourselves that one of the disciples leaving a home that had provided lodging and food for a night, maybe perhaps even for several days, and then as the disciple or the representative left, they pronounced the blessing of Jesus Christ and of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit upon the occupants of that home. For those disciples, it must have been far more than a perfunctory blessing, because they remember what Jesus had said. And they knew that they were quite surely brought the presence of God into the home and to the table where the meal was spread. They knew that this was not because of any achievement of their own, but because Jesus, the Christ, had promised that those who extended a kindness to his disciples were extending that same kindness to our Lord himself. But what I am saying should not be limited to the people back in the first century or the first generation of Jesus' followers. It's easy, for instance, to imagine those generations where Francis of Assisi and others like him traveled all throughout the world without any means of substance. And yet they were fed and they were housed day after day, year after year, by people who meant to honor the Lord by their gifts. Sometimes it was done by well-to-do people, but often it was by those who were themselves living on the edge of poverty. And maybe you may call me sentimental, if you will, but I truly believe that God came to every table, to every blanket, to every couch where hospitality was extended. Jesus had said it, and so it should be so. And I believe that it has been demonstrated more than a million times by any of us can even imagine. Jesus then threw out what I would call a wider compass. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet, he said, will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. Our Lord, in effect, Jesus was very careful and very intentionally extending that area of blessing, my friends. If he had only spoken of the disciples by themselves, future generations could easily have felt that the blessing ceased to operate after the disciples were gone. But Jesus goes on, if you look at Scripture, to include prophets and righteous persons in that promise. The word prophet, for example, is somewhat difficult to define, but it's fairly to say that a prophet was identified primarily as someone who was speaking on behalf of God the Father. There were men both in the Old Testament and the New Testament who were called prophets, who prophesied. Their main work was not by any means predicting the future like they had their ball, so to speak. Rather, they were speaking the truth in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we have had such persons in every generation since the fall of man. Some of them officially ordained, some performing without particular authorization, but with the clear touch of God's Holy Spirit. As for the righteous person, I have to say, thanks be to God for such, and may their tribe increase. That may be lay persons. It may even be clergy. That may be trained or untrained persons, male or female, young or older, at any level of attainment or recognition, but possessed of persuasive righteousness. The word righteousness has become such a religious word that it's in danger of losing its strength. If you go back to the Old Testament, as the Old Testament viewed it, a righteous person was just what the basic root word suggested. A person who was right. Right before God, right in one's own soul, right in daily conduct. There's a Jewish scholar by the name of Eliezer ben Shamu who declared that the world rests on a singular pillar, righteousness. And that is true. And much of what is wrong with the world's politics, our economics, our culture, can be traced to the lack of righteousness, my friends. Our world not only needs righteous persons, but it needs a mass of others, people like you and me, who will honor the righteous, who will encourage our children, our teachers, our leaders to be righteous. That's because righteousness depends as much on the people who honor it as those who lead in righteousness. But Jesus has a point in his teaching. He feels that one who has a feeling that the bar of judgment is very high for apostles, for prophets, and the righteous. These titles are often named for name droppers, for sure. And if Jesus were to say more, logic would say that he is saying something more grandeur, still more demanding. So listen to how Jesus concludes this lesson. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. You and I expect our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to end on a high note, didn't you? Having referred to apostles, to prophets, to disciples, all that was seen to be left would be the angels. But when Jesus gets into the name-dropping business, we learn that his standard of judgment is very far different than yours and mine. We dare not minimize the grand work of a disciple, or prophets, or righteous persons. And neither dare we stop with them. And why? Because our Lord does not. And neither dare we think that the purpose of heaven finds their highest expression in such noble callings. Jesus offers another possibility, and that's what I just read. Giving a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple. You may ask like I did, who are these little ones? There was a bishop from the 4th century who said that this phrase referred to the worst of all sinners, because God grants His reward to the faith that the one who gives, and not to the deceitfulness of the one who receives. But even if one doesn't want to go with this, what this bishop had said, the point is very clear. Even an apparently ordinary service to a quite exceptional person is enough to bring praise from heaven. For the angels to sing and to sing amen and hallelujah. But let me add a special word. Cold water is easy for us, isn't it? All we have to do is turn on the spigot. And if we used hot water before, we may get a little bit of hot water. But then all of a sudden, the water will get cold. You have to remember, 2,000 years ago, cold water was not easy to come by in the Middle Eastern world of the first century. Water that sat in a container for even a short time became lukewarm, as was cistern water that came from a well. If a thirsty person was to be given cold water, the giver had to go to the well to get it. Cold water back then represented special, gracious, demanding effort on the part of the one who is giving it. In other words, the measure of the gift was not in its monetary value on how much it cost, but in the effort and the kindness of the giver. But no matter how you look at it back then, or even today, Jesus turns the whole structure of name-dropping upside down. Having warned His disciples that they may suffer hard days, including persecution, He went on to say to them that great blessings could be theirs, and not only theirs, but ours. Here in the 21st century, if we choose to follow our Lord Jesus, if we listen to and defend the right of the prophet, that is the one who dares to speak the truth, we will receive a prophet's reward. I don't know about you, but to me, that's big stuff. And if we obey the righteous, honor their standards, and support their struggle for what is right, we will receive the reward of the righteous. I don't know about you, but the word wonderful comes to mind. And if we exert the effort to give a demanding kindness, cold water, water to one of our little children, to unimportant people like the beggar on the street, or the tiresome soul who may want an hour of our time, or the person we least want to see. And I'm sure you all could make a list of different situations. If we give them a kindness in the name of a disciple, what do we receive? We get a disciple's reward. Back then, they were traveling in fast company. Jesus didn't stay very long. They were always on the road with disciples, with prophets, and the righteous persons. And the company of those who are doing it were doing it unto Christ and God the Father. Fast company indeed. And it all began, my friends, with a cup of cold water. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.